Hi, this is Mary Tweet with Arkansas Cooks. This week's show is an encore presentation. We hope you enjoy the program. Welcome to Arkansas Cooks. This is your host, Mary Tweet, and I'm here to meet with Arkansas Cooks, and then I tell you all about it. Everyone has their favorite place for the perfect margarita. Well, Lee Edwards has studied up on the ultimate margarita, and he is a historian. Woo! Don't go away. You're listening to Arkansas Cooks. Good afternoon, I'm Mary Tweet, and you are listening to Arkansas Cooks. The real focal point at the local Lime restaurant in the Promenade Shopping Center is the bar. It is a big white quartz bar. You cannot miss it. And Lee Edwards is the king behind that bar. So I was able to sit down with Lee and discuss the ultimate margarita, agave, tequilas, you name it. So here we go out to local Lime. So one thing Local Lime out in Promenade is known for is the bar. And I'm with Lee Edwards, bartender extraordinaire.
Not to be confused with Lee Richardson.
Or Lee Richards or any other Lees. No, but Lee Edwards is the bar dude out here. And I bet this was kind of fun for you. Have you ever done a bar before?
I've opened restaurants before, but I've never opened one with someone like Amber, Brewer Beachboard, designing and running the show. And that was a really different aspect of opening a restaurant. It used to just be you get staff and you get tables and chairs in place, and then you say go. And Amber brings an entirely different element of aesthetic that dumb guys like us don't often come up with on our own.
So tell me, now have you been a bartender before?
I've been bartending primarily since 2002 when Suzanne at Chalbachi hired me on.
Oh, yeah.
And for the most part, that's what I've been doing since then.
Were you a chef before then, or are you strictly
I've never
bar?
Been a chef.
Okay, good.
I've been a line.
We
will
not confuse you that
I
way.
I have been a line cook grunt when I was in my teenage years. I've made many a pizza, and you know that kind of thing. But
so you, they put you in charge of this bar, and you rocked and rolled on
they
it.
They did. They did. I approached them. I came to them last summer and said, what I really want to do is I want to work with a group with diverse interests, and they already had a gourmet pizza concept that was very successful, Zaza. Mm-hmm. They had a gourmet burger concept, Big Orange, which was very successful. And knowing the guys in the group like I do and like I have, I knew that they had some ideas they had yet to develop. And I liked those ideas. I liked where their thoughts were going. And so I approached them and I said, hey, listen, let's partner up on this. I want to do beverage concepts for a lot of diverse food concepts. And you guys don't need to be worrying about beverage. You need to be doing what you do well,
which is food.
Which is food, which is marketing, which is look, which is everything else. They do exceptionally well. I was like, if you have someone to take that burden off of you, then you can
be me.
You can pay more attention to all of the things,
yeah.
and the restaurants will be healthier as a whole for it. So it was perfect timing. The local line was about to open, and so I left the Capitol Hotel, place that I loved, place that I had a great stay, and started opening this. And we've had a lot of fun, and it's been a really successful opening in our estimation. And we're having fun with it, and we look forward to continued success.
Well, I know that if you're sitting at this, let me just paint you a little picture. But if you're sitting at this bar in Local Lime,
this big longhorn looks kind of towers over everybody and looks down at everybody as you're at a beautiful, is this marble or quartz or some kind of beautiful?
This is quartz.
Quartz bar, stark white, with huge black bowls of limes and lemons and oranges and you know, really interesting condiments. I mean, this is not the old plastic box with cherries in it that I'm used to on a bar. This has got really beautiful fruit, fresh fruit, and olives, and really interesting stuff that goes in drinks.
Yeah, this is one of the things that I guess I have an aesthetic when it comes to drinks. And it's really great that I get to partner up with Amber, in that I can throw an idea out there and she won't look at me funny like some people would when I have my harebrained mad scientist ideas.
What was your craziest harebrained mad scientist
idea? I have crazy ideas all the time. The most dangerous place for me is on an airplane, because I have time to think, and I will just scribble a million crazy notes in a magazine while I'm on a flight. But I have crazy ideas all the time about marketing and about drinks and about presentation and you name it. I have insane ideas. But she doesn't look at me like I'm crazy. She looks at me like she's already had an idea about that, and that, you know, I've just finally had the same idea. So
you can make it happen.
She conceives everything. And so anyway, yeah, you look at the fruit here, and this is kind of a thing. There's a national renaissance going on right now with bartending. And
really?
And we can be part of it in Little Rock.
Yeah.
When you go to the best bars in the country right now, there's a lot going on. There's a tremendous amount going on. I feel like we're in a golden era of bartending in this country. There's a lot of things in play. Prohibition ended in the 30s, but the effects of Prohibition lasted well into the 1980s and 1990s.
So explain some of those.
Well, for 14 years, we had a national prohibition on alcohol.
Right.
And what that does is people that are employed in the industry had to find other means of income. If they were an importer, they needed to import something else, or they weren't going to make money. If they were a bartender, they either moved to Canada or Europe, or they went to another mode of making money. And so you had a whole generation of people that went into something else entirely or moved from the country. Some of our best bartenders moved to Paris and London, Montreal, Toronto. We lost a lot of experience and a lot of expertise. And also importing partnerships. If something's not being brought into the country for 15 years, well, it's not going to be brought in the day after the prohibition's lifted.
Right.
They've got to find a new importing partner that believes in their product, that knows what their product is, to bring it back in. So just in the 1990s and the 2000s, we're having products brought into the United States that haven't been brought into the United States
since Prohibition.
Since
like
Prohibition,
the 20s?
Since the teens.
Wow.
Yes. So, you know, there's a creme de violette that I like to put in some of our margaritas, our house margaritas. It's made of crushed violets, and it's from Austria. Okay, well, this product hasn't existed in this country since the teens.
Wow.
But in the teens, you could go to a bar like the Hotel Monteleone Carousel Bar in New Orleans, and you could ask for an Aviation, which is made with creme de violette. A little drop of it changes the color of the white drink to a pale blue, which reminds you of the sky, hence the name Aviation.
Oh, cool.
So that is an American cocktail that we weren't able to make in America for almost 100 years. So that's a long-standing effect of a 15-year prohibition.
Wow. Yeah, that's very long-standing.
So, and that's just one example of one product. There are many products that we had that we're just now getting back. And so, bartending right now, we are fortunate in that we're having this newfound rejuvenation
of products and also of style. You'll go to bars around the country and you'll see stylistically what's going on is they're creating venues that look like a flapper, you know,
right.
den from the 1920s.
Right.
They look like a speakeasy. The staff dresses as if they are working at a speakeasy. And these things are going on from coast to coast. And I'm not saying that, you know, Little Rock needs a speakeasy where people dress like they're in the 1920s. But there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of ideas right now.
And tastes are changing, or maybe they're becoming more refined. But, you know, I think that if you come to Local Lime, and I'm talking to Lee Edwards, who really created the concept right here in the middle of the bar, in the middle of the restaurant, and you know, you get a margarita that doesn't taste like anywhere else.
That's true.
I mean, so that has
you know, when the guys said to me, okay, this is our concept, we want our margarita to be the best it can possibly be. We want some people to think it's the best they've ever had. We want some people to say it's at least the best in the state. Well, we want some people to think it's the best in the region. Whatever. We want superlatives. And so they put me in charge of making this the best that we could possibly make it. So it starts with a tequila. You've got to find the best tequila you can find for a price point. And my standard was, we will only have 100% agave tequilas. That's it. If it's not 100% agave, it won't be part of our program.
And so tell us, what is it about 100% of agave that makes it the best?
Well, the way the U.S. government and the Mexican government structure their laws on tequila, if you make tequila in Mexico and it's not 100% agave, which is a specific plant.
Right, from the agave plant.
From the agave plant, Blue Weber is the specific type. If it is not 100% that, you can put up to 49% vodka in the bottle.
Oh, so it's not really tequila.
So it's not really tequila. They can put 49% vodka, 51% tequila, and food coloring.
And call it tequila.
And call it tequila.
Wow.
And it goes on our shelves just like everything else, only it doesn't say 100% agave. It just says tequila. It might say gold. Gold is a word that's used when it's not 100% agave.
I did not know that.
So my standard for tequilas to be on this list is they have to be 100% agave. If they are not 100% agave, they are not tequila.
And you've got quite a few.
We've gotten the 50 to 60 tequila range.
Oh my gosh.
Now, there's a few restaurants around town that do have more. But we start with the best, and as new brands are brought in, we taste them and we add them to the list if we like them.
Well, and that's one of the things you can have here is a flight of tequila.
Yes.
If you really want to do a flight of tequila.
Yes. And we made these neat little boards.
Yeah, I love those that fit your shot glasses.
They were custom made. They fit our shot glasses. And so you can have a flight. Right now we're offering 4 flights, but we will change up the flights in the future. We might have more, and we might have the same number, but just have different flights.
Right.
But, you know, we have 4 flights right now, and it allows people to taste different tequilas and kind of form some opinions and have fun and try different things.
Does it come with salt and lime? Is that kind of corny?
Well, we put on the plate, we have 3 things. Well, 4 things. We have a nice orange wedge with cinnamon sprinkled on it.
Ooh.
And cinnamon being a baking spice really develops those fruit flavors that are in the Highlands tequilas. But it also works with the oak that was used to age the reposados and the añejos across the board, wherever they're from. So,
you know, it's almost like wine tasting.
When you get into high tequilas, you are talking about where the plants were grown, which is something like, well, what part of Napa was it grown
right,
in?
Right.
Well, what part of Jalisco was it grown in? When you taste the difference between Don Julio Añejo, Don Julio 1942, and Don Julio Real, there's tremendous difference. And they're all three wonderful tequilas. But there is really, really discernible differences. And so then you kind of have to go, well, it's like great wine from the Napa Valley. Is it grown on the floor? Is it grown on the hillsides? Or is it grown high up on the mountain? Different fruit produces a different wine.
Produces a different flavor.
And the Jimadores, the owners of these distilleries in Mexico, they know. If it's if it's grown in this area, it's a better agave plant than an agave plant grown across the road. They know these things. They've been doing it for generations.
So you have on your board, you have oranges with cinnamon. You
have, we have a lime and salt.
And your then your
and we have our sangrita.
What's sangrita?
A sangrita is a customary non-alcoholic accompaniment that goes with tequila. In a Mexican family, traditionally, sangrita would be made with leftover fruit juices that were part of, that had like drained from, say, like a fruit salad.
Right.
And so instead of throwing that away, they would mix it with hot sauce. And that little fruit juice and hot sauce mixture is called sangrita. Now, you can have many, many, many different variations on that basic recipe. And if you go around the country, you know, you go to, you know, a gentleman in Chicago, the American chef in Chicago that does the Mexican restaurants. I'm blanking on his name, but, you know.
I do not know.
Well, this is embarrassing for me.
That's okay.
So,
the Chicago guy.
Yeah, the Chicago guy. You know, if you go around the country and you know places that really take pride in their tequila, you're going to find different recipes on sangrita. And essentially, it's do you put tomato in it or do you not?
Oh, really? That's
and
it.
It's an essential difference.
Do you?
We use a tomato base. But what we do is we use a salsa base. We have a salsa Veracruz,
mm-hmm.
which is what Ben and Scott and John came up with
right.
to go with our shrimp cocktail. And I tasted it, and I said, it's really too good to not use it with the sangrita. And it's really too good to not use it as our Bloody Mary mix. So we made a sangrita out of the salsa Veracruz. And then the sangrita doubles as our Bloody Mary mix.
Ooh, that sounds great.
So, you know, we're making something that's perfect and then using it three different ways. So anyway, you get this side of sangrita when you order any shot of tequila. A local line.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, so it's a nice little accompaniment.
I have learned so much. Now, my question to you, Lee, is did you have to learn all this to open up Local Line, or did you know all this already?
Both.
You had to learn more.
I had to learn a lot more. All of us have a love for tequila. All of us have a love for this type of food, but passion, there's still a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
Even though you've got passion, there's still a lot of work to do every day.
Yeah.
And we, working with mezcal in cocktails is something that I had never done before.
What is mezcal?
Mezcal is, tequila is mezcal.
Oh, okay.
This is like that Venn diagram, right? Where
right.
these two circles?
Yeah.
Yeah. All tequila is mezcal, but...
Not all mezcal
is tequila. So mezcal can be made by a lot of different agave plants, different species,
right.
28 to be exact.
Wow.
Tequila is made with the Blue Weber agave plant.
Well, can we go back and should we go back and make a margarita and show me how this is done?
We can do that.
Let's do it. So we're at Local Lawn and I'm with Lee Edwards and we're making margaritas. Woohoo! Using lots of tequila, mezcal, whatever. And so I know you have kind of an original one, but then you have like a million variations.
Well, the first thing I want to make you our house frozen margarita.
Oh, okay, good.
When I first met with the guys, Heron Higginbotham was one of the partners. He said, "We want to have the best frozen margarita that anyone's ever had."
Because I usually get mine on the rocks because I'm not a big frozen fan.
And no one immediately says, "I want a great frozen margarita."
No, they don't.
they kind of shriek from it and say, well, I don't know about that. And it occurred to us that the reason that people don't have great frozen margaritas is because they've not tried to.
Well, they put them in, what my understanding of lots of frozen margaritas is, it's a mix that's put into a freezer that you can then pump out.
Well, what we did was we got this great ice cream freezer.
Which
not many people are going to spend the kind of money on an ice cream freezer to make margaritas.
I didn't even know you
doesn't make financial sense, I don't suppose.
Right, right.
But, you know, we were thinking a little forward. Heron, having done well with the frozen yogurt business.
Oh, that's right.
In his life.
With TCBY.
Knows an awful lot about
yogurt makers.
Making things into a wonderful, you know, frozen consistency
thing.
That tastes delicious.
Cool. So what did you guys do?
So we got this, this Taylor ice cream freezer, and Heron knew exactly what it did. And so when we got our recipe together, we put it in the Taylor,
okay.
And we...
Does it have the alcohol in it, in the freezer?
It does.
Wow. Well, you know, it won't freeze solidly because it has alcohol in it, right?
Well, it does freeze solid, but it's in a wonderful texture.
Okay, let's see what happens.
What we did is we found these great glasses.
Those are great.
And we freeze them so that we can just easily get a little bit of salt on there.
Yeah, and you know, that's the other thing I noticed is that you don't put salt all the way around the rim. You put it on one side.
We put it on half the rim.
Yeah. I like that.
And that way, if a person forgets to say, I don't like salt, they've got half a rim that they can avoid it.
Yeah.
And if they want to, like me, I want to try things out during a drink.
Yeah.
I want to try it with. I want to try it without.
Yeah.
And so that way I'm able to,
and did
you know.
Did you just put a frozen lime in there?
I put a frozen lime in there. We call that our lime ice cube. So it keeps the bottom of the frozen margarita cold.
Yeah.
With a frozen lime.
And it doesn't get watery and liquidy.
Right. So it's a slower process to that.
Okay, so then you got the frozen... look at that. Come out of the ice cream machine. There it is. Oh, my gosh.
And so you've got this, you know, really nice...
That is beautiful.
...luxurious texture, which you would not have if we didn't have this ice cream machine.
That is like ice cream.
And texture is one thing, but what goes into the margarita... also has to be perfected.
Well, and it's not a strong tequila, you know, taste, but it's a great lime.
Hopefully
taste.
It's balanced. You know, that's what we search for.
You can tell it has alcohol in it, but it doesn't. So which alcohol?
There's many important parts to this. The first thing we did is we found a tequila.
Uh-huh.
And so we found 100% agave tequila that was affordable that we could do a house margarita with. And I did some double blind testing with the owners. And I made margaritas with several different brands of tequila.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else in the tequilas and the margaritas was exactly the same, but I used different margaritas and I put them in colored pitchers. And I said, at the end of this, you tell me which colored pitcher you liked the best. And so that's how we came upon our tequila.
Wow, it's good.
All right?
Yeah.
So then we figured that out. We used our Puerta Negra Reposado, 100% agave tequila. And then I said, we have to have an orange liqueur.
Yeah, like a
What orange liqueur?
Triple sec.
Triple sec or you know, like a high-end triple sec would be Cointreau or a high-end orange liqueur that's made a lot heavier, Grand Marnier.
Right.
Now, obviously, those are a little pricey for a house margarita.
Right.
So you're looking for a nice product, but you cannot disregard the orange liqueur because a bad one can mar an otherwise good margarita.
Yeah, and that is a great margarita.
So this is an all-natural triple sec called Stirrings, and it's 60 proof, which is a little higher than most triple secs.
Right.
But what it does, the orange flavor is so strong that we use half the amount of triple sec we would be forced to use with another triple sec to get the same amount of orange flavor.
Because it's got such a great orange flavor.
It's got such a great orange flavor. So with that, we are cutting down in sugar because we're using half the amount of triple sec we would normally use.
Yeah, and you know, people don't know this, but alcohol does have a lot of sugar in it.
It does.
Yeah, especially liqueurs.
Especially liqueurs.
Wow, so you've had success with this frozen margarita?
we've had a lot of success with this frozen margarita.
Mm.
And then you add into it
God.
Fresh lime juice.
Okay.
The lime juice is squeezed every morning. We run through about 20 quarts of lime juice every day.
Wow. And limes, if you've ever tried to squeeze a lime, limes are not easy to juice. They're not, they're hard, and they're hard to juice.
Well, we've got a wonderful machine
that does all that
for
you.
I will show you.
Oh, good.
In the kitchen.
Great.
Which takes care of that problem.
Yeah, and I've seen this. Is it similar to the one they have at Big Orange that squeezes all the limes, lemons, oranges there too as well?
There's an old one that we used to have out at Big Orange, which isn't there anymore.
Okay.
It's different from that.
But it's one where you literally put the fruit in and it comes out juice.
Yes. You want to go see it?
Yeah, let's go see it.
Pardon me.
Oh, you're good. Now, the regular margarita that you're making a very similar lime mix and using some of the same alcohol. You're just not freezing it. Or maybe not.
I'm sorry, say that
just
again.
Just a regular margarita on the rocks. You're using some of the same ingredients, but...
We use the same recipe for our frozen and our rocks.
Yeah. And then, like...
Hey, guys, we're back here again with our... pastry chef, the woman that's making all the desserts. What are you making right now?
Chocolate covered espresso beans.
Yay! And so, and they're cleaning out the juicer.
Andy right now is cleaning one of the cogs that is part of our Zoomex juicer.
Wow!
And so that thing is.
And underneath it, 6 cases of limes.
And over there, you got.
Oh, we got a bunch more.
9 more, yeah.
You go through a lot of limes.
About 30, 40 cases a week.
Wow. That's a lot of limes.
Yeah, we not only do we have a lot for our margaritas, but all the marinades.
And all the salsas
in the kitchen.
They all use
lime juice. So, and of course, Autumn has things like her wonderful key lime pie. That.
So, is most of what you're doing at the bar margaritas and typical Mexican drinks?
About 80 to 85% of our alcohol sales are margaritas.
Tequila, margaritas, yeah. Well, it's what goes with Mexican food.
Exactly.
Which is what you're looking at here.
And when you design a concept to be your strength, it's important when you frame it on the menu that way and people respond and buy in kind, because if you've invested yourself in that being the best thing, it's very helpful when it turns out to be.
Yeah, so local lime, one of your main ingredients is lime. Thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
Well, Lee, thank you so much. Out here at Local Lime in the Promenade, and I'm really loving it. It's fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're back. I'm Mary Tweet, and this is Arkansas Cooks. You can find out more about Lee Edwards and Local Lime by going to my website, arkansascooks.com. You can also go to Facebook and find Local Lime right there. Now, if you're interested in writing me, you can do that at mary@arkansascooks.com. The stuff I get is always fantastic. Now, be ready, because in the next few weeks, we've got some great new things right here on Arkansas Cooks. Fresh, wonderful voices. I can't wait. That's all the time we have today for Arkansas Cooks. Thanks for tuning in. I want to thank Ben Brainerd and Lee Edwards out at Local Lime. Also, thanks for the tremendous help that I get from Travis Hill. He makes me sound so good. This is Mary Tweet reminding all you Arkansas cooks, life is too short to eat bad food. So only eat good food, get it with a great margarita, and eat it with great people that you love. It'll taste so much better.